Thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, where we discuss the latest newsrooms and games of the NFL and college football, from the latest signs, issues, breakout stars, and all the news in between. As always, I'm Jeremiah, and we have another, like I said, another one action-packed show for you guys today. We had some pretty amazing action yesterday in college football. I'm definitely going to talk about the Rose Bowl game and an instant classic there. I'm also going to get into some news about Lane Kiffin. And then I'm also going to talk about some quarterbacks that are going to make their first start. That's right, first career start in a playoff game. And some quarterbacks that might come back are, and then some uncertain, and pretty much certain question marks there at the quarterback position for some playoff teams heading to the wild card weekend. And I'm also going to talk about news that broke this morning with Cincinnati Bengals defensive back Pacman Jones being arrested on several charges, and he is denying them. And I will get that at the end of the show. But as first, let's talk about college football from last night. We had a wild one at the Pasadena at the Rose Bowl. This was a classic for the age. This was a game for the ages. I've never seen a Rose Bowl like this in quite a long time. I think the closest game being played ever at the Rose Bowl has to be the national championship game in 2005 when the Texas Longhorns defeated the USC Trojans. And that's one of my top favorite college games to watch. And every chance I get, or whenever it's on, say if it's on ESPN Classic, I'm probably going to watch that game. And that's been one of my favorite games. That was the game that really, really made me a fan of the game of football in general. But in the Rose Bowl yesterday, the 9th-ranked USC Trojans defeated the 5th-ranked Penn State 52-49. And this was a game that included two of the hottest teams in college football to end the year. You know, USC, they were on an 8-game winning streak. Penn State ended the year on a 9-game winning streak. Penn State was going for their fourth ever season to have 12 wins in the program history. USC, however, was trying to get 10 wins. And this was it was a game between really two tough defenses. And it's amazing because this was far from a defensive game. And the young freshman Sam Darnold broke a Rose Bowl record with 5 touchdown passes. He threw for 453 yards, went 33 for 53, was really efficient, and that was one of the best performances that I've seen from a USC Trojan in quite a long time. And you got to think about the quarterbacks that have come through that program, and Trace McSorley, he had a real good game. He did struggle a little bit at the end, though. McSorley finished the day with 4 touchdowns, 254 yards. He also had a touchdown on the ground. That total touchdowns tied a Rose Bowl record. But he threw 3 picks in the game. And, of course, he threw one late in the game when Penn State was up. No, actually, when the score was tied at 49-49. There was about less than a minute to go. McSorley threw a pick at the worst terrible time, and it was a really bad throw. And it gave USC really good home field advantage. And they drove down the field and won it on a field goal. So Clay Helton trusted a college kicker to win the game. And you know how people feel about kickers. They don't trust kickers at all in college, yet alone. They don't trust kickers right now in the NFL. The fact that Clay Helton trusted his kicker really says a lot. Says a lot about the confidence of his team. But it's a great season for both of these guys, both of these teams. This was, I kept saying throughout the game, if no matter who wins or loses this game, I feel like both of these teams really deserve to be in the playoffs. This game really proved that Penn State should have been in the playoffs. USC prove that they were a serious contender. They could have been a serious contender in the playoffs. I think you would, well, if these two teams were in the playoffs, no one would want to play them at all. Definitely. No, there's no way that Alabama would want to play Penn State. And I know USC began the year against Alabama, and they absolutely torched them. But I don't think – I think USC can get them run for the money now because they didn't play Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold was one of the top quarterbacks ever since he stepped on the field this year. These were actually – Trace McSorley and Sam Darnold were the two hottest quarterbacks coming to this game. They were really efficient. Sam Darnold, he's a freshman. He's going to get better. I think USC is they have a bright future ahead of them. McSorley, he's a sophomore. I think he's going to get better. I think this team's going to be really good next year. So these are two teams that I think they're back to national prominence. I expect them to compete again next year. I think they're going to be two teams that a lot of people have in the playoffs. I think USC can make a run to the playoffs next year. I think Penn State can be a playoff contender next year. But I do like what I see from both these teams going forward, and I think it's safe to say that USC and Penn State are back to national prominence. But as far as other performances in the game, Saquon Barkley, 194 yards rushing and two touchdowns, so he had an incredible game there. And Penn State rushed the ball for over 211 yards. Of course, 194 went to Barkley there. McSorley did get 13 yards and one touchdown. For the USC Trojans ground game, Ronald Jones II finished the day with 55 yards and one touchdown. So he kind of had didn't really have a really good day. He only averaged about 2.8 yards per carry. Justin Davis did. He averaged about 7.2, rushing for 43 yards and six carries. So the Trojans did run for 122 yards, but basically when you had a really great performance by your quarterback, there's no way that you should be able to lose like that. But I just got to say, Sam Darnold looks like he is on his way to becoming one of the best college quarterbacks, not only in USC, but probably in college football. He looks like he's about to be one of the top college quarterbacks next year. I do think him, Josh Rosen, Jake Browning, this is a really stacked Pac-12 conference in quarterbacks. It's going to be really good to watch next year with the quarterback position, because I think Jake Browning, he's going to be good. He threw 40 touchdowns. He threw more for 40 touchdowns in his sophomore year. He might throw for 50 in his junior year. Darnold's not going to go anywhere. I think Josh Rosen's going to come back strong. Whoever starts at Washington State, I think is going to be successful there because of that offense. But I do like what I'm seeing from the Pac-12. It looks like the Pac-12 is slowly gaining back to prominence how it used to be about 10 to 15 years ago. But we had really great performances last night too in the from the receiving corps on both sides. As far as USC, we had a historic performance from Dante Burnett, 164 yards receiving, three touchdowns on 13 receptions. What a day this kid had. And of course, Juju Smith-Schuster, the stud receiver there at USC, could be in the NFL next year if he decides to declare. He had 133 yards receiving and one touchdown. And Darius Rogers added a touchdown as well on 42 yards receiving. As for the Penn State receivers, Chris Goodwin had an incredible day, 187 yards and two touchdowns. So, and Barkley even got involved as well with the 55 receiving yards and one touchdown. So it looks like Barkley could be one of the top running backs heading to the draft if he decides to declare. But incredible day from both teams. Incredible day. Historic day. Classic game. That's all I got to say. And USC and Penn State are back, folks. That's right. Both of these teams are back. As far as other college football action from yesterday, the Outback Bowl started everything yesterday. Florida defeated Iowa 30-3. They had a really good day behind Austin Appleby there with the 222 yards passing day with two touchdowns and two interceptions. Jordan Scarlett finished the day with 94 yards rushing on 14 carries. And Mark Thompson was the leading receiver on an 85-yard reception that went for a touchdown. So there was really pretty much an okay offensive day for the Florida Gators. As for the Iowa Hawkeyes, they couldn't get anything done on offense. CJ Bertard only had 55 yards passing. He went 7 out of 23, 3 interceptions. They did had a good rushing day from Akeem Whaley, 22 carries on 115 yards. So they couldn't really do anything besides that. But yeah, Florida finishes the year with 9-4. Iowa ends the year on a terrible note, and they finished their season 8-5. But as far as other college football action last night, the Oklahoma Sooners defeated the Auburn Tigers 35-19. They had an incredible day by Baker Mayfield, the Sooner quarterback, 3 for 296 yards and 2 touchdowns. Joe Mixon, who's been involved in assault allegations or charges, so to speak. He's been involved in that. He finished the day with 91 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns on 19 carries. Samaje Perine-Parnell finished the day with 1 touchdown and 86 yards and 17 carries. And Joe Mixon also added 89 yards receiving. So really good day from Joe Mixon there. As far as Auburn, they couldn't really get anything done in the passing game. They couldn't get very much done in the running game either. So they use about four different guys through a pass, at least one pass. And Jeremy Johnson finished from 5 for 9 for 93 yards and 1 interception. Sean White, 4 for 10 for 35 yards. John Flinken the third, 3 out of 7 to 25. Kerryon Johnson, 1 for 1 for 1 yard and 1 touchdown. So yeah, there wasn't a whole lot there to be happy about for Auburn. As far as the rushing day, Cameron Pettaway finished the day with 101 yards rushing and 24 carries. And there wasn't really much going on there for Auburn as the Sooners defeated the Tigers 35-19. And one of the games I was looking forward to actually was the Cotton Bowl. It involved the Wisconsin Badgers, who are eighth ranked overall, and the Western Michigan Broncos. Yes, the MAC champion, who finished the year ranked at 15. And Western Michigan actually started off kind of slow in this game, and I kind of expected that. You know, this was probably the best sort of competition that they faced the entire year, but they hung in there the entire game. You know, this they brought the game back within one score. I really saw a good effort there. They had a chance to perhaps get the ball back, but their defense didn't allow that to happen. But the Wisconsin Badgers did defeat the Broncos 24-16. And I do expect Western Michigan to come back next year. I don't know if they're going to go undefeated, but they do finish the year 13-1. They were one of two teams that were undefeated to end a regular season. But I think Western Michigan is going to be, I don't think they're going to go anywhere. But they are going to be without Corey Davis next year. I think he's the second best receiver in the draft this year. Corey Davis finished the day with 73 yards and 1 touchdown. As far as quarterbacks, Zach Terrell finished the day with 157 yards passing, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. He went 16 for 28. Bart Houston at Wisconsin went 11 for 12, 159 yards. And Alex Holmbrook finished the day with 2 for 2, 19 yards, and a touchdown. But the best performance of the day goes to Troy Fumagalli. He literally made plays when it counted. He finished the day with 83 yards receiving and 1 touchdown. And as far as the running game, Corey Clement of Wisconsin finished the day 71 yards, 22 carries, and a touchdown. And Jamari began, finished the day 58 yards rushing as he was the leading receiver, not the leading receiver, the leading rusher for the Western Michigan Broncos on 16 carries. But Yeah. But, you know, that was pretty much a recap of last night's action in college football. You know, really great game in the Pasadena. Oklahoma comes out on top. Western Michigan, you know, failed to finish an undefeated season. And Florida just mollywops all over Iowa. We got one more college game left in the books, and that is the national championship. That will be next Monday. And, of course, there will be a lot of anticipation for that as it builds on towards the actual day when it will get played. But, you know, it is a rematch with Alabama and Clemson from last year, and I do expect this game to go an entirely different way. Deshaun Watson looks a lot better than last year, but the Alabama defense is even more better, and that is scary to say. But, of course, we won't talk – we will pretty much preview that game next week when it will happen. And I can't wait for that. And it's sad to see the college football season come to a close, and we have so many great games this year. We're going to take our first break here at the Going to Media Concepts Football Podcast, and I'm going to talk about Lane Kiffin. Yeah, it looks like he got fired on his day off again. Yeah, looks like he got fired on his day off again. I'm sorry, I just got to make a Friday reference, but yeah, it looks like Lane Kiffin continues to burn bridges, and I will tell you how he did that when we come back here at the Going to Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Yesterday, it looks like Lane Kiffin got fired from yet another job. And it's a good thing that he has a head coaching job at Florida Atlantic University as the head coach, because he's no longer the offensive coordinator at Alabama, even though he was supposed to, or he said he was going to, finish the year through the playoffs as the offensive coordinator for the Alabama Crimson Tide. But no, that is not going to happen. Lane Kiffin, he's out of Alabama. It's been reported that both parties have mutually parted ways, but we all know that Lane Kiffin was fired from the job. This is what Nick Saban told ESPN on Monday. Quote, "We made the decision because it was in the best interest of our players, our program, and for him to assume his duties at Florida Atlantic. We mutually agreed that this was best for both programs." In case you don't know, there's a little... from the week leading to the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl against Washington on Saturday, Lane Kiffin, he was being a bad boy. He was being a bad boy. It's been reported that Kiffin was late to several events and meetings during the past week leading up to the Peach Bowl. He missed meetings, media day, leading some Alabama staff members to say, "We were done with him." Then on Thursday, before the Peach Bowl, Kiffin appeared 15 minutes late to the team's media day and was the last Alabama coach to leave the event. And by the time he got out of the Georgia Dome locker room to where the buses were supposed to be, the team already headed back to the team hotel in downtown Atlanta. So they left him there. basically saying, oh, yeah, we're done with you. They basically left them at the stadium. And, man, Lane Kiffin just, I just don't know what it is about him. He's just very chaotic. Probably one of the most chaotic people in the sport of football. But no way, Lane Kiffin gone at Alabama. Steve Sarkisian is now going to assume the offensive coordinator duties for the national championship game against Clemson. But Saban went on to say in the statement after this news broke, quote, this wasn't an easy decision, and we appreciate the way Lane handled this in terms of doing what is best for our team. At the end of the day, both of us wanted to put our players in the best position to be successful. Obviously, we are in a unique situation here where we have our next offensive coordinator already on staff. We have full confidence that Sark will step in right away and make a smooth transition. So, it looks like Lane Kiffin burned another bridge with Nick Saban. I don't know how it's going to play out at this time with Florida Atlantic, but it looks like we're in for more chaos there. And I'm actually not surprised by this because I'm not surprised by the firing, because when you watch the Peach Bowl on Saturday, it took Lane Kiffin literally a while to let Bo Scarborough loose. You've seen the way he played that game. You've seen the way he rushed the ball. Scarborough finished the day with 180 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. How do you not give him the ball in the early of the game? He could have put the nail in the coffin early in the game. Jalen Hurts practically had his worst game ever at 57 yards passing. And when you have a young freshman quarterback that's struggling like that, you have to rely on your strength, and that is your running game. What is Alabama historically known for? The past 5 to 10 years, running backs. But, you know, Lane Kiffin is just one of those guys that kind of irks you a little bit. But then again, it seems like he just does what he wants in a way. But, you know, he is a coach at Florida Atlantic. Remains to be seen if he can be a head coach again. I think he can, and if he has his head on straight, I do think Florida Atlantic can be a successful program under Lane Kiffin. And I'm not saying that Florida Atlantic's going to go to National Providence, but if I'm Florida Atlantic, if I'm the athletic director there, if you've seen these reports of your current head coach being late to meetings on his team, for his team, being late to meetings and pretty much being late to everything, how are you going to feel about this hire that you made about a month ago? How are you going to feel? Because you can't fire him. You can't fire him a month ago. There's not many coaches out there. Chip Kelly's not going to go to the Florida Atlantic. There's no way. I don't think he will want that. Chip Kelly wants to go to, if Chip Kelly goes back to college, he will want to go to a Power 5 conference. I don't know if he will want to go to a Group of 5 conference. No, this is Chip Kelly. No. He's been to the NFL. Why would he go from the NFL to Florida Atlantic? No. But, you know, pretty much Florida Atlantic's pretty much stuck with Lane Kiffin. You know, if Florida Atlantic, they don't have a good year, I think Lane Kiffin's going to get the can. I think he's going to kick rocks. But I actually think Lane Kiffin, he actually deserves a head coaching job. I think he needed to, ever since his last head coaching job, it didn't end well at USC. I kind of think he needed to reestablish himself, and he did that at Alabama with being a really good offensive coordinator there. He did win games he did have a really good offense with 3 types of quarterbacks, including Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts was the SEC Player of the Year. He was the first freshman to do that since Herschel Walker, and that's saying a lot. I do think Lane Kiffin will be a good coach at Florida Atlantic, but I don't know if he will be a good person. Yeah. But we're going to take our second break here at the Goins to Me Concepts Football Podcast. I'm going to talk about some teams in the playoffs that's made or about to make decisions on their quarterbacks in those games. And Adam Jones gets in trouble again. I will explain what he did last night, but I will have news. I will have that news when we get back here at the Going to Meet Concepts Football Podcast.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA, from the UFC to extreme cage fighting. They got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. And we're literally less than a week away. Well, actually, we're about, I think, like 4 or 5 days away from the NFL playoffs. And of course, every year the playoffs start with the wild card round. And we have a couple of teams here that have a few questions on who is going to start at quarterback for those teams. You know, the Raiders made a decision. The Dolphins are still kind of trying. They don't know who's going to start yet. Even Houston, the team that's going to play the Raiders this weekend, they don't know what direction they're going. But the Oakland Raiders said that they're going to start Connor Cook this Sunday. Not Sunday, but Saturday against the Texans. And it's going to be the first time in the Super Bowl era that a rookie quarterback will make his first start in an NFL playoff game. So Connor Cook, who has no experience in a real-life NFL game, the last time he took a snap in the NFL was a preseason game. And what Matt McGloin heard, who I thought was the best option to start since Derek Carr's injury. Matt McGloin's not going to play due to a shoulder injury. Looks like Connor Cook will try to lead the team against the Texans. And, you know, my expectations for the Raiders aren't as high as they were about 2 weeks ago. You know, they do have a talent. They do have elite receivers and Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree. They got the three-headed monster at the backfield, but, you know, they have a very inconsistent running game. The defense is a little so-so. They very inconsistent at times, but it looks like Connor Cook will. He will be ready. He will be ready. Well, Connor Cook did go into the game against the Broncos in the season finale on Sunday in relief. Cook completed 14 of 21 passes for 150 yards. He threw one touchdown, but threw one interception. Matt McGloin that game was 6 of 11 for 21 yards. Remember, Connor Kurt drove the Raiders down for the only touchdown drive of the game as they lost that game 24-6 to the Denver Broncos at Mile High Stadium. So, you know, Derek Carr, he's no longer, well, I wouldn't say he's no longer, but he's not going to play in the playoffs due to broken leg, which was a very terrible injury, by the way. But it looks like Saturday is going to be a difficult to be excited if you're a Raiders fan. And I don't blame you guys. If I'm a Raiders fan, I don't know if I'm excited to watch this team play in the playoffs. You know, you as the season went on, your expectations went so much more higher than they, as this team got, you've seen it, this team got better. But you know, Connor Cook is going to make his first start as a rookie. And, you know, it remains to be seen how he's going to do. He's going to play real good defense in Texan. And as for the Texans, they have questions at quarterback as well. Looks like Tom Savage's status for the game is very uncertain. He's still in concussion protocol as he left Sunday's game against the Titans. They lost that game, by the way, 24-17. And Brock Osweiler, the $72 million man, he went in relief in that game. He completed 21 of 40 passes for 253 yards and mustered up an 80.5 passer rating. So Bill O'Brien has a decision to make heading to the game against the Raiders. You know, the Texans will have to go with Osweiler if Tom Savage can't get out of concussion protocol. He's still in that protocol, and he hasn't been cleared yet. Savage was 5 of 8 passing for 25 yards and was sacked once to start that game against the Titans. But it looks like this game between the Raiders and Texans, looks like it's a matchup that looks like about a month ago, this practically said, oh, you know, the Raiders will win this game easily. I don't know who I'm picking in this game. I don't know who I'm picking in this game. You know, Texans have real good defense, so maybe them. But if your quarterback can't play, if your quarterback keeps the struggle in the playoff game, your defense can go so far. And DeAndre Hopkins, you know, he finally came alive. I don't know. It remains to be seen how this playoff game shakes out on Saturday. And I will talk about that game with Ben and Anthony on Friday. And as for another team in the playoffs this weekend, the Miami Dolphins, they have not ruled out Ryan Tannehill to start the game against the Steelers on Sunday. Adam Gase, who head coach of the Miami Dolphins, said, quote, "I don't want to say yes or no. The guy, as you all guys all know, is a freak of nature. His body's unique, and the way he heals is the same way. We're kind of going to take one step at a time." Adam Gase said this at a press conference on Monday. He plans to get a firm update on Tannehill's knee from, you know, the medical staff Monday, you know, early Monday or Tuesday earlier this week. So an important decision for Tannehill going to play is, can he practice? And if he can practice, there's probably a slight chance he is going to play in this game against the Steelers. But Matt Moore has been really good in the backup role. You know, he's been really, really solid. You know, he's 2-1, threw for 721 yards with 8 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, has a 105.6 quarterback rating. So, you know, it looks like Matt Moore is on his way to being a playoff quarterback this year. But if Ryan Tannehill can't go, Matt Moore looks like he will take the helm again. And as if I were to choose any quarterbacks, Connor Cook, Tom Savage, and Matt Moore, I will have to go Matt Moore as the best quarterback than those guys right there. If out of those three, Matt Moore is the best one this weekend. But yeah, you know, we will talk about those playoff games later this week. I will talk about those playoff games, of course, with Anthony and Ben on Friday. But for our last bit of news today, Cincinnati Bengals defensive back Adam Jones. Listen to this headline. Adam Jones was charged after allegedly poking a man in the eye. Did you want me to read that again? Allegedly poking man in the eye. So he faces several charges after he was arrested. He was arrested early last night about 12:30 a.m. So he was booked in jail around that time. He faces misdemeanor charges of assault, disorderly conduct, obstructing official business, and a felony count of harassment with a bodily substance. What Adam Jones did, this is what allegedly he did. He allegedly pushed a security guard and poked him in the eye, then refused to comply with law enforcement officers. And this was according to the Hamilton County jail records. So this was all on the record books. When arrested, Jones refused to enter the police car and allegedly pulled away before kicking and headbutting an officer. Jail documents have said that as well. He then spit on the hand of a nurse while he was being booked into the Hamilton County Justice Center. And the Bengals on Tuesday said that they're aware of the situation and are working together to gather information, but are following team policy to not comment on resolved legal matters. And, you know, when when a player on a team, usually teams don't really say a whole lot because of, you know, like they said, the old saying, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty. So this isn't the first time Adam Jones has done this. You know, 2013, he was on assault charge in Hamilton County after a woman accused him of punching her at a nightclub. And don't forget, in 2007, 2007, Jones was pretty much suspended after that 1 year. You know, he just had, he's been having legal troubles ever since he's been in the league. And I remember when he was suspended in 2007, he was a TNA wrestler, quote unquote TNA wrestler. And I still think that's kind of laughable to this day, because TNA is pretty much that company is done. And if you don't know what TNA is, it's a wrestling promotion. Stands for Total Nonstop Action. They've been trying to compete with WWE for years, and they're not going to. But Adam Jones, he's at it again, folks. He's at it again. That's all I got to say. But I'd like to thank you guys for tuning in to the show. That concludes the show. I'll be back tomorrow with Anthony. We're going to discuss any news that happens in the past 24 hours. We might bring back Wild Life Wednesday. I can't promise you that. But I'd like to thank you guys for tuning in to the Going to Steam Media Concepts Football Podcast. As always, I'm Jeremiah. And you guys have a pleasant day and have a pleasant tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.